It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we look at a lethal disease that's been affecting bats around the country and has now been confirmed here in Wisconsin. A DNR wildlife expert tells us what it means and what can be done to slow the spread of white nose syndrome.
Today, we continue our discussion about the latest from the Wisconsin Survey from Wisconsin Public Radio and the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute with a look at how the issue of minimum wage is seen in the state, and we'll continue to explore the Wisconsin survey results tomorrow here on Central Time.
Now we're joined by Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College and Associate of the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. In just a bit, we'll continue on with Kevin Quinn, Professor of Economics and Associate Academic Dean at St. Norbert College. Wendy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what put the minimum wage issue on the radar for the survey this time?
Well, it was in the news. They were talking about raising it up potentially to the $10.10 an hour at the federal level. And so we decided to put that back on the radar. We hadn't really asked that question in years and years, actually.
You asked two questions. First, you asked if people supported raising it, the minimum wage in Wisconsin, to $10.10. What did you hear from people?
57%, so the majority, said that they favored that, while 39% opposed and 4% weren't sure. And as you can imagine, there's some partisan differences there, some pretty big ones. Among Democrats, 86% favor. Among independents, 60% favor. And only 30% of Republicans favored raising it to $10.10 an hour.
Then you came at it from a different angle. You said the current minimum wage is $7.25. Would you be in favor of raising it from that level? What did you see in that result?
Right. And it's much higher here. We find 75% overall think that it should be increased above $7.25. And then again, with the partisan breakdown, 96% of Democrats think it should be raised. 54% of Republicans, so a majority, think it should be raised above $7.25, and 81% of independents.
So at least some bipartisan support for some kind of increase in a minimum wage.
Right. So there is obviously then some drop-off between somewhere in between the $7.25, but not getting quite toward $10.10. So if you look at those who think we should increase it above $7.25 of Democrats, 89% also think that it should go all the way up to $10.10. So there's not a lot of drop off there. Among independents, same. For those who want an increase from $7.25 an hour, 74% also said they want it to go up to $10.10. The difference is in Republicans, but it's still a majority, and that is those who think we should increase it above $7.25, still 55% think it should be at $10.10.
On a related note, the survey found that jobs and the economy were the top issues in the state and the nation for Wisconsin respondents. What kind of things are we hearing from people on those issues?
Mm-hmm. Well, there were a number of people at the national level who were talking about the lack of jobs for middle-income folks, lack of high-paying jobs, and also in there were people who were worried about jobs being sent overseas. At the state level, we saw a similar thing with regard to the lack of high-paying jobs, but then also some more concern with either not attracting jobs to Wisconsin or that we're not keeping them here in Wisconsin, that they're going to other states.
Wendy, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks.
That's Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College. She works with the Wisconsin Survey, and you'll hear her again tomorrow morning at 7 on the Joy Cardine Show, and again with us to introduce marijuana legalization responses on this year's Wisconsin Survey. Now we welcome Kevin Quinn. He's Professor of Economics and Associate Academic Dean at St. Norbert College. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Well, what do you make of this? People in large measure support some kind of minimum wage increase.
Yes, there don't seem to be that many issues in the political world that enjoy that kind of support across the parties. Of course, as Wendy said, there are differences. Democrats overwhelmingly are in favor of it. 96% is pretty amazing for increasing the minimum wage. But I think it just recognizes that that the real value of the minimum wage has been in decline for quite a long time. The $7.25 minimum wage that we have now if you kind of go apples to apples and account for inflation, back in February of 1968, the minimum wage was $10.69 or about $10.70, about close to what they're talking about right now. So essentially what we're talking about is a return to the late 1960s, the high point in terms of the purchasing power of the minimum wage.
Well,
the other thing I would add is that the minimum wage now represents just a slightly over a third of the percentage of average hourly earnings here in the U.S., and that's been in decline for many decades as well. So the minimum wage is quite a modest rule by comparison to where it was in the past.
Well, this has been a big political issue. Democrats in Wisconsin are calling for a special session for, among other things, an increase in the minimum wage. As the minority party, they probably won't get that. Meanwhile, President Obama has been making the case. He's instituted a higher minimum wage for federal contractors, wants Congress to pass a national law. I want to hear the pros and cons from the economic side. What do critics in the economics world say against a minimum wage increase?
Well, the argument against the minimum wage is a very similar argument against over-regulating free markets. If we go back to our Econ 101 and we think about demand curves sloping down and supply curves sloping up, markets, when they work as they should, will find a price or a wage where the quantity supplied is equal to quantity demanded. If we were to set a floor on the price that it couldn't go below, what would happen is price that was too high, at the wage that was too high, there'd be more people looking for work than there would be businesses willing to offer jobs, and that's essentially the definition of unemployment, people that would like to work for the prevailing wage but are unable to find work. And so a very uncritical way of analyzing that gives you, well, minimum wages cause unemployment. The problem with that is that that's been kind of tricky to find actual real-world evidence that increases in minimum wages do much in terms of creating more unemployment. A couple of professors at Princeton in the 90s, 80s and 90s, did some extensive work looking at differences in state minimum wages right on state lines, in this case, Pennsylvania and New Jersey, when New Jersey raised their minimum wage, and found that that increase was not associated with drops in employment. Now, there are some issues there. Some people have argued, I think weakly, that they're terrible methodological issues. But the bottom line is that if this were such a clear-cut slam dunk that increases in minimum wages, at least around the increases that we've seen in the past, that caused unemployment, we should be getting a clear signal in the empirical data. We just don't see that.
But it seems logical. If I'm a small business owner, I'm made to pay my workers more. I might not be able to employ as many people. It might limit my ability to expand my business.
This is true. However, while most businesses are small businesses, most employment is not done by small businesses. If I owned a smaller business, I wouldn't want to be mandated to hire additional people. But there's a supply side issue, too, I think, that people have not paid a lot of attention to. One of the things that we've noticed is that there's been declines in the labor force participation rate. Now, some of that is demographic. We have an older workforce. It's some other things going on. But I suspect part of it is that people who are lightly skilled are facing such low rewards for entering the workforce, I think maybe they stay out. So it's sort of the argument that was made a little while ago about the healthcare stuff, the healthcare reform was going to lose jobs because all of a sudden people didn't need to work as much. And it's kind of the same thing here, is that by lowering the rewards to, or by raising the rewards to work here, you're likely to find that employment the desire to be employed will go up, which may offset some of the employment losses associated with higher prices.
We're talking about the latest results of the Wisconsin survey from Wisconsin Public Radio and the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. Right now, we're finding out what Wisconsin thinks about the minimum wage issue, and we've got Kevin Quinn with us. He's an economist at St. Norbert College.
And we'd like to hear what you've got to say about this. Do you think Wisconsin should raise the minimum wage? And if so, how much would you like to see it raised? If not, why not? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Let's go right to the phones. We've got Bob on the line in Hayward. Bob, hi.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon. Good subject. I'm against the increase of minimum wage for a couple reasons. One, I believe in a free market economy, i.e. individuals, you and me making the decision of where that price needs to be. But if you look at Switzerland, it's got the highest earning income in the developed world, and they do not have a minimum wage in that country, actually the only one in Europe, but yet they have the highest salary and wages. That's one. Two, when you raise the minimum wage, it hurts minorities the worst, because most that's the highest percent of probably unskilled labor, and it really doesn't give them the opportunity to enter the market. Just how Davis Bacon years ago affected, you can have a direct line between minority unemployment and Davis Bacon wages.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot for the call. Kevin Quinn, I want to bring you in on this. The people hurt most by an increase in the minimum wage are people who are having a tough time getting jobs anyway. That this raises the barrier to entry for them in a way.
I think that has been the sort of the standard Econ 101 argument, and I'm not familiar with the study that he references, but most of the work that I have seen suggests that the signal that's in the actual world when we see this, it just isn't there. The other issue I would say is that if Switzerland doesn't have a minimum wage, but to compare what their skill levels in their economy are, et cetera, what their prevailing wage rates are, what the purchasing power, of course, of that is, putting that aside, if it's a high wage economy, they really don't. But in real life, wages are not really determined in, what we think of as being perfect markets. When we have perfect markets, we have perfect information. There's no barriers to entry. There's no transactions cost. There's no things that prevent somebody from going from one place to another. A lot of labor markets are, in fact, local. So the conditions that need to prevail in order to have markets function very well are weak at best, I think, in labor markets.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Amanda with us in Dodgeville. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. I was wondering what sort of effect having maybe three different minimum wage classes for different age groups, such as around $7 for high school students, $8 or $9 for college students, and then $11 or above for adults. Because a high school student doesn't need to make $11 an hour to survive.
Amanda, thanks a lot for the call. I think I've seen that idea floated and maybe done in some states, Kevin. Is that a popular concept?
Yeah, the idea of a training wage, minimum wage, that's lower has some appeal. I think the primary argument against it more than anything else is the difficulty in trying to administer it. And there are folks that do say that, if you take a college kid who might be pretty bright, they don't have their degree, they don't have a ton of experience, but that might be a better deal at $8 an hour than someone who's 30 years old that has maybe some more experience, but maybe hasn't had the work history that they should, or maybe they're not as naturally gifted. So I think the argument against the argument against a training wage because it might hurt those with the higher wage actually has more currency than the blanket minimum wage. But I think the idea does have merit, and many economists have espoused it.
Amanda, thanks for bringing that up. We'll go to Kathy over in Rice Lake now. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. I was in favor of the minimum wage going to $10 or above. And just as Amanda was saying, she wanted different increments for the different age levels. And I think a blanket minimum wage would be fine because kids, when they're that age, starting in high school and so forth, they're always saving up, or if they're in a position, they can help the family out. But my statement was in wondering, when people are going to be making more money with the increased minimum wage, of course that's going to be more taxes, taken out, and that would make more revenue, of course, for the state or the federal. And also with that. I forgot I was going to say, but
we'll leave it there then, Kathy. Thanks. So she sees a positive impact of people at the minimum wage having more money to work with and maybe more taxes going into state and federal governments.
I have to sort of now argue the other side of it, that the empirical data just don't seem to support that much of an impact when the minimum wage goes up. And it doesn't support the argument that, the sun falls from the sky. It also doesn't support the argument that things get a whole lot better. It'd be nice if we could have all the good without the bad, but it just, at least in the ranges at which we have changed minimum wages in the past, it just doesn't seem to have much of a toehold. Now, maybe that's because what's happening is that the environment in which the minimum wage can go up is one in which it really is not going to affect that many people in the first place, and that's why it has political traction. Now, an increase from $7 to $10 probably would be a little bit higher than what we've seen in the past, so we may see some of the negative effects on unemployment. We may see some of the positive effects on spending and income, but I just don't think that there is a ton there that suggests that we're going to get massive shifts as a result of the change.
This has come up a lot in the context of income inequality in the United States. Is that a possible benefit of a minimum wage increase, bringing both ends closer together, or is that maybe an overpromising of the impact of a minimum wage increase?
Well, I mean, to the extent that it does do anything, I do believe it probably has a slight positive effect on the bottom end. I'm not sure it has much of an effect on the top end. But, you know, that notwithstanding, there's of course, the perception issue as much as anything else. One of the things that I actually have become increasingly concerned about is the degree of income inequality in the U.S., and not so much because it's a political issue, but rather because growing income inequality in, you know, any measure you have indicates that that's the case, can lead to political issues and in instability. And I suspect that, that some of this stuff that you're seeing in response to, you know, the kind of the strong support we're seeing for increases in the minimum wage are probably drawn from that, from the public perception, which is accurate, that income inequality has increased.
Back to our callers now with Patrick in Greenfield. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to allude to the fact that last night on Ed Schultz's show, they had a study, and I wish I could recall by whom, but this group studied the state of Ohio and workers at Walmart in particular, because Walmart is the most profitable corporation in America. And 15% of the Walmart workers are on public subsistence, so that because they're under the poverty line. Now, those people are taking money out of the taxpayers' pocket, and they have to do so in order to survive. Yet Walmart, which is so profitable, if they were to take and raise their workers up so that they're above the poverty line, which the average is $8.86 an hour, and they're actually above minimum wage levels now, but they're still below the poverty line, if they got a 10-10 base salary, that would take all of them out of poverty. They would no longer need public assistance. And the net effect to Walmart, they looked at a cost of a box of macaroni, which is 86 cents now, and it would go up one penny. So,
gotcha. I want to give Kevin Quinn a chance to weigh in on that before we're done. That last point, raising the minimum wage, he says, wouldn't raise our costs at a store that had to pay its workers more?
Well, I mean, I didn't see that study. I've heard this argument made with Walmart before. Unfortunately, it's hard for me to kind of weigh in on the veracity of that or particular study or others like it, because they tend to be done for and by folks who already kind of know what the conclusion is going to be. And by the way, that's true for the other side of the aisle as well. I mean, there would be probably some impact on Walmart, but you know, Walmart's ability to price is not universal. I mean, they don't just get to decide that they're going to charge, you know, 50 cents for a box of macaroni or a dollar for a box of macaroni. They have to be reflective of what the marketplace looks like as well. In many of the marketplaces they're in, they do have some pricing power, but not vast. So my guess is that the extent to which it would be costly, it probably would affect Walmart's bottom line to a non-trivial degree. Now, whether or not that would cause the economy to crash down, I think it probably wouldn't.
We'll leave it there, Kevin. Thanks for joining us.
Great. Thank you very much.
That's Kevin Quinn, professor of economics and associate academic dean at St. Norbert College.